But let's look for some other hidden stories. Our next star is almost completely out of sight. Go through the passage opposite the one you came in from when you reached this little square, and you'll find yourself in Via d'Azeglio. Cross the street and carry on across the little square till you come to a narrow street on your left, Vicolo dello Spirito Santo. At the end of the street, in the left corner, the Catalani Casa Torre appears, peaceful in its robustness, its collocation still unchanged, with two sides facing each a public street. In contrast, the context has obviously changed, transformed to the greatest extent by the building of the Celestines Convent. At present, the tower consists of three rooms placed one on top of the other, and of an underground tunnel dug in the basement's perimeter in the 13th century, which is connected with the other rooms only by means of trapdoors. The room at the top, where you can see three windows and a door on the western side, offers the best living conditions. This does not mean that it wasn't used for work, as it was the lightest, best ventilated room. Anyway, we must not forget that in the medieval times, the very concept of house itself was definitely different from how we mean it nowadays. The rooms didn't always have a specific function. There was more contemporaneity and promiscuity of actions than now. People would prefer food, wash themselves, their clothes and kitchen stuff outdoors, while indoors it could be that, while someone was working, others would be sleeping on a couch on the floor without any distinction between living and sleeping areas. Nothing to do with the comfort we live in today. Just like many other towers, also the Catalani bears no trace of how the inside walls were finished, but they were probably first whitewashed and then variously decorated, if not panelled or lined. Its buchi pontai, holes meant for holding bridges, tell us that the building was equipped with many balconies. They were not mere external links, but multi-floor buildings proper, extending the surface of the house. In this case, the holes show that the supporting corbels were placed according to a radial arrangement. This tells us how these external structures used to run all along the four sides of the building. Similarly to what happened with indoor spaces, there is no evidence of how these structures looked like. But scholars now agree that balconies and external walls were probably whitewashed and colourfully decorated. So, now try to use your imagination. The towered forest was for sure thick and labyrinthine, but think of it as full of colours, with volumes and chromatic effects given by the heights, wooden structures and decorations in vivid colours, not to mention the banners, coats of arms and flags that characterised each family. Anything but the dark and monochrome Middle Ages.